8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Briefly, Dad, if you would pray for the message, please.
Heavenly Father God, we can come to you in prayer this morning, God. God, just here to glorify your name.
Yes.
God, and just feel shaped up and living forward out of us, God.
Yes. Help
God,
us.
God, let us take it and live with it daily, and God, try to live for you.
Yes.
Be with all the ones again, God. Just let us have a good time enjoying your word and learning more about you.
Yes.
God, thank you for dying for us.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the God of all comfort. God of all comfort. You know, if you study your Bible, you're going to find out that home is where the Lord Jesus is. Where Jesus is, that's where home is. Well, you can go to heaven if the Lord Jesus is not there. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to be home without the Lord. So as I study this Bible here, I get to looking about some of these things we're going to talk about this morning, and I get to thinking about the one we're going to spend our eternity with in our eternal home.
Amen.
And it comforts me. One of my friends, he went to a prison here some time back, and he was trying to witness to this guy, and this guy just didn't know anything about the Lord hardly at all. And he said, "I believe in God. I believe in God." And Brother Robbie said, "Well, there's more to it than that." And he said, "You need to." He said, "I'd like for you to just go with me through some passages in the Bible, and we study about Jesus." He said, "Yeah, that's another thing." He said, "I've been to church before, and they just talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He said, "That's right. That's what you're supposed to be talking about. He's the darling of heaven. He's altogether lovely. He's the one that we're bragging on this morning. He's the one that can comfort you this morning. He's the one that can help you this morning. He is the one that makes home, home. A home without Jesus is not a biblical home. A home without Jesus is not what you want it to be, because there's no joy there. Jesus brings the proper joy. Jesus in the midst makes a home, a home. He makes a church a church.
Right.
He makes a family a biblical family.
Yep.
He makes a life a Christian.
Yes, sir.
When Jesus is in the inside of you.
That's right, brother.
Some people wonder about that thing. Hey, I've got somebody else living on the inside of me.
That's right.
And he tells me, he says, "You're not doing right." I say, uh-oh. Y'all, whenever you're saved, the president on the inside is supposed to have the preeminence.
That's right.
The border becomes the boss. He's got the preeminence in all things. Now, I want to look at a few things in the Bible with you briefly about times the Lord actually came down and visited the people. You know, you think about this right here. The Lord did not come down in the Bible after David was ordained king. He didn't come down. He didn't come down after Nehemiah rebuilt the temple. You would think that that's what humans would think, that the Lord would come down and say, "Wow, great job." He did not come down whenever Esther repeated the words, "If I perish, I perish." You would think the Lord would have showed up and said, "That's what I'm talking about." He didn't come down. Y'all, the Lord comes down. He come down in the Old Testament sometimes, and He come down in the New Testament. Thank God. And y'all, I want to show you some things I think will be a blessing to you when the Lord comes down. First of all, I read this chapter here, this verse in this chapter 3, and they had heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Well, man, I bet that was something. And you know what? They had messed up big time. The first thing I want you to see is the Lord comes to sinners. Sinners. Yo, the Lord had placed them in a garden where it was just perfect, a perfect environment. Gave them one commandment, broke the commandment. You would have thought God would have come down, took a lightning bolt like some people think God does, and just struck them down and said, "You're never, ever going to be able to get out of this." He didn't do that. Man, He's the God of all comfort. He came down to Adam and Eve, and He comes over here, and they had really messed up. They messed up the whole race. We're still suffering from the mistake that they made in that time. But you know what you're going to find out? The Lord helps, doesn't it?
Amen.
Do you know there's an interesting verse in Job chapter 12, verse 7? It says, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee." You know what? You can look out there at the animals, and they'll teach you something. You know one thing the beast teach you? You need a covering. Why? The bear has grizzly bear hair. Covers his whole body. And you know what? Dogs have a covering. Well, they got fur. Sheep have fur. All kind of animals have a covering. But we don't have a covering. We say, Chase, you're pretty hairy. Look, I'm not covered all over. I'm not covered all over. Just my face. But I'm telling you this right here. My friends, God is able to cover sin. Off of covering. You know what he did? He came to sinners here, and it excites me. Why? Because I needed a covering one day. In verse 21, the Lord said unto Adam, and also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Y'all, isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Come down there and covered them up. Don't you know? They were naked. They had sewed fig leaves together and they didn't know what to do. They were scared to death. That's what sin will do. Sin will make you scared to death.
Amen.
You start running from God whenever you're in sin. People wonder why they get backslidden and things like that. Why? Because sin has driven you backwards. Why? You need a covering. Man, thank God I've got a covering with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I want you to know that when that prodigal, he was still a son, he had backslidden, and he came back to the father, the first thing the father did was get him a brand new robe. He said, go get him the best one. Put a brand new ring on his finger, brand new shoe. The first thing God does when you come to him is start cleaning you up.
Amen.
He didn't take him and slap him 3 or 4 times until he messed up. He was glad that he came back. Why, God offers a covering. He comes to sinners. I thought about this right here. He offers you the substitute. That's what you need is a substitute.
Yeah.
I was reading a story about the Reign of Terror in Paris, and I think I wrote down the date, 1794. And this father had gotten thrown in a dark dungeon there, and the father was looking around and everything, come to find out his son was in that dungeon. Uh-oh. He said, oh, no. He was talking to a few people in that dungeon. They said, he is due to get the guillotine tomorrow. Well, the father and the son had the same name. So that morning, whenever the guards come in to call the son's name, they shared the same name. The father spoke up, said, I'm he. And went out and took the guillotine for his son. You know what? Your substitute, Jesus Christ, took your penalty, took what you and I deserved, which was hell, and he suffered that on the cross, took our sins, y'all. He's the substitute. Why? Man needed a covering, and the Lord comes to sinners, and you see that first thing, and he offers a covering for you. This morning, I hope you got a covering.
Yeah.
I hope you're covered. Why? I'm covered by the blood. The devil comes up and says, you see what Chase is doing down there, don't you? You see what he did the other day? How is he qualified to preach? He did this, that, and other. And the father looks down and he says, I don't see anything. What are you talking about? You don't see anything. Don't you see what he did? And the father says, all I see is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Washed white as snow. You see that? There's a covering there. Not only that, but he comes to those who are sad. He comes to those who are sad. I thank God for that. Genesis chapter 21. What you have here. No, don't turn there. That's too far over. Turn to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. I was going to use 21, but I like 16 a little bit better. What has happened is Sarah has made a mistake there, and she gave Hagar to be Abram's wife. And because she made a mistake, this often happens, she's blaming somebody else for her mistake. And y'all, you know what? Our flesh tends to do that.
That's right.
We blame others for things we did. We do that. And you know what? She sent Hagar out, and Hagar's going out. Hagar is sad. She's lost her home. Now she's with child. She don't know what to do. She's out there in a place, and she's just headed for a wilderness. She's headed somewhere bad. Bad. She's sad. Now think about this right here. Look what happens in Genesis chapter number 16, verse 7. She's out here, she's sad. I can't imagine what she was going through. It says, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. Of water, where at? In the wilderness. A fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. I believe that's how you pronounce that. You know what I like about that right there? The Lord came right there to someone who was sad, and guess what? He came by a fountain of water in a wilderness. Amen. Y'all, you know what that reminds me of? The Lord Jesus Christ came in John chapter 4. There was a woman at the heat of the day, 12 noon. It's hot outside, and He comes and sits on a well while showing you He is the well. He is the fountain of water. He is the one who can offer rivers of living water. Amen. And He said, give me to drink. Did she give Him anything to drink? You know, two times the Lord asked for something to drink, and neither time did He get it. He asked for something to drink in John chapter 4. He asked for something to drink on the cross. And you know what? He didn't get it. That's a picture right there of somebody. If you go to hell, you can ask for water all you want to. But if you don't trust the one who died on the cross for you, you won't get a drop of water. But you know what He did? He come here and He offers water to someone who is thirsty. Think about this morning. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty this morning? The Bible says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what's wrong with most of the world? They're so full on the world, they don't hunger for the things of God.
That's right.
That's what happens. You're full on the world. But see, she's out here in the wilderness. But think about this right here. I like this. I just got to show you this right here. I wrote down this verse. Maybe I didn't write it down. But I want to tell you this. I looked at this, and you can look it up. Sure, the Bible says later in Genesis, is on the way to Egypt.
Right.
That's where it is. So you know what? That lady had left, and she was on her way to the world. Egypt's a picture of the world. The Bible calls it the house of bondage. She's on the way. She's already in the wilderness. But guess what happens? Sin will lead you further and further and further into the world. And guess what happens? When your sadness, if all you do is focus on the past, your sadness will lead you off into sin. Why? Because we sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. I've got a hope that'll last. Why? My hope is in Christ Jesus. My friend right here, he comes to the sad, and you'll see right here, I wrote down this verse, I liked it, and that's the title of my sermon, 2 Corinthians 1:3, He's the God of all comfort. I got this other verse here. John 14:18. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said, but I will come to you. That's a promise right there. He's going to come to you. Don't you want comfort? Don't you want help? The Lord Jesus Christ said He would come to you. Y'all, not only that, but I'm saved. I've got the Comforter on the inside of me. He's available at all times. Wireless connection. The Lord Jesus. Anytime I need Him, I'm able to call on Him. Now, I thought about this right here. We're not comforters today. Most people aren't comforters. Most people, all they do is they want you to listen to all their troubles. And then by the time you leave, you're like, man. But what? We're supposed to be able to comfort others and listen to what they have going on. If somebody wants to tell you their trouble, that's great. Well, we want to help them if we can and lead them to the Lord. People going through things. Miserable comforters you are, Job said to his friends. And you know what? I was thinking about this story. I used to play guitar with a man years ago. And he had a cousin. His cousin had gotten cancer. And they said, look. They said, Marshall, this man has got cancer. And he is swole up. I mean, that medicine has got him swollen up. When you walk in here, they knew how he was. He'd just say anything off the top of his head. They said, when you walk in now, don't say anything about his weight. He's very sensitive. He's sad about it. He's depressed. He's down. Don't say anything about it. He walks in there and he said, hey, RJ, look like you gained a little weight there. First thing when he walked in, he thought, man, that's terrible. I mean, that's the last thing he needed to hear. You know what happens? We do that oftentimes.
That's right.
Y'all, we've got to get to the place where we learn how to comfort others.
Right.
Y'all, we've got to get to the place where we know how to point the conversation toward the Comforter, Jesus Christ. And offer the, y'all, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can say to comfort you. Without Jesus Christ, I have nothing to offer. Why? Because all I have to offer is temporary hope, temporary things, a temporary world. But you know what I can do? I can tell you about Jesus Christ. I can tell you about an eternal hope, an eternal home, that we read through an eternal book.
Amen.
And I can point you to the one who can get you out of that. But I can't help you without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no good. He comes to those who are sad. You know what? The Bible calls him a husbandman in John chapter 15. You know what a husbandman does? He cares for the vineyard. He prunes and he works on that vineyard. He makes sure that thing's able to grow, and sometimes some dead branches are on there and things like that. And guess what happens? Sometimes he'll send a storm to you. What does a storm do? We have trees over by the house, and sometimes a storm will come through there and knock some dead branches off of that tree. You know what he does? Sometimes he'll bring a storm in there. It's not to hurt you, it's to help you.
That's right.
And he'll knock some dead branches off in your life. Why? To help you get closer to him.
Right.
He comes to sinners. He comes to those who are sad. Genesis 32 with me. Genesis 32. He comes to those who are struggling. He comes to those who are struggling. I thank God that we've got a God who can help me in my struggles.
That's right.
Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, if y'all are anything like me, I tell you, some days I think, man, I can't even make it through this thing sometimes. You say, yeah, that happens to you. Yes, it does. I get frustrated. I think I'm fishing to ruin my testimony here in just a minute. I'm fishing to mess up big time here in just a minute. And guess what I have to do? I have to pray and ask God for help. Well, I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good.
That's right.
So you know what? I've got two natures on the inside, and I've got just what? Somebody comes up there and they knock on the door. I don't need to let old Adam answer the door, and I need to say, hold on, Adam, you stay in the chair. Lord Jesus, you come. You come and answer the door. Why, you let old Adam answer the door, and we're going to mess up every time.
Amen.
Y'all, we've got to get to the place where when we're struggling, the first thing we do is make prayer our first response instead of our last resort.
Amen.
That's what people do. Well, we just resort to prayer last. Go to prayer first. Jacob has made mistakes in his life, and because of some deception he did, he had to stay gone for 20 years with Laban, another deceiver. And guess what happens? He's coming back. And in Genesis 32, verse 24, some of my favorite passages, it says, "And Jacob was left alone." Sometimes you need to get alone with God.
Amen.
It says this, "And there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh." And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." I wish we'd get that way in our prayers. I wish we'd say, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go till I get the blessing, Lord." Guess what? It'll bless you. It'll bless you. We give up way too soon. We pray once or twice, I didn't get my prayer answered. What about prevailing prayer? What about asking again? What about ask and seek and knock? There's a built-in ask. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. You just ask and you keep on asking, man. Why? I can tell you something. I'd rather ask for it and not get it. Then I get to heaven and the Lord say, "I wish you'd ask for that." Well, y'all, a lot of times we don't have because we ask not.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, man, you struggling, well, you need the Lord. And you said, and he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Y'all, it wasn't the strong Jacob of verse 24 that prevailed. It was the weak Jacob. You know what you're going to find out, and I think we learn this sometimes, I hope anyway. Sometimes God will weaken your strength so He can strengthen your weakness.
Right.
You know what happens? We're so strong in our own accord so many times, and we think we can actually get something done with God. We think we can wrestle God into getting done what we want Him to get done. God works on eternity standard time, and He does what He wants to when the timing is right. When the timing is right. Y'all, we're struggling. There's people struggling in this old evil, wicked world. But you know what? We've got a God of comfort we can go to during the struggle there. What is that? God is able to strengthen us just as He strengthened Jacob. Guess what happened? He touched the hollow of his thigh. The sinew of it. You know what that is? That your strength is here. Your strength is here. You take some of these guys and, man, they go to working out and all they do is work out their upper body. It's so funny. We used to call it in college the wheelbarrow syndrome, you know. Y'all doing all right? Are you? You know, y'all, you got to work your legs. You got to work your legs. You got to work your lower half. Why? Because your strength is here. Guess what he did? He touched the hollow of his thigh where his strength was. And you know what happened? Jacob never walked the same again.
That's right, brother.
You know what we've got to do? We've got to get God to touch us in a way on our strength.
That's right.
Where we'll walk different. You know what happens? Here comes Jacob. Now, I know, I mean, as I picture how brothers are, I bet you whenever Esau last saw Jacob, Jacob was haughty, and Jacob thought he knew everything, and Jacob thought he was the smartest and the wisest and the brightest. You know, and he walks off with his chest out, and Esau's thinking that his brother that he remembered is going to come back, and he's going to walk up there with his chest out, you know. Nope. Wasn't like that. Jacob walks up there humble.
Right.
Humble with a cane. He's walking up there and he can't even hardly... He had just gotten a touch from God and he was walking humble. Humble.
Amen.
Y'all, we've got to get to a place where we let God touch us in such a way where it changes our walk. There's a story about a man who painted a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put that picture up in a place where people would see it, and from a distance that picture looked as distorted and ugly as any face you'd ever seen. You just couldn't make anything out of it. You thought, who would paint such a thing? But you know what? If you would go up to that picture and get down on your knees and look up, he painted it from an angle to where you had to get down on your knees and look up at it like that, the most beautiful face you had seen. Perfectly symmetrical. The Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to see Jesus Christ in the right light until you're humble. Jacob had gotten humble because he had gotten a touch from God and he walked different and his brother was able to see it. You know what our brothers and sisters in Christ need to see us walking differently.
Amen.
Differently.
Right.
Why? Because we've gotten a touch from God. Every one of us need a touch from God. You know why I'm here this morning? Man, I want to get a touch from God.
Amen.
I know I need something. People say, well, you just think you're good. You go to church on Sunday. No, I think I'm so bad I need to go as often as I can.
Right.
Well, I know my flesh will take over, man. I know it will. He comes to those who are struggling. I could go on and on about it. There's in Mark chapter number 6, His disciples, the Lord Jesus' disciples are in the boat, and the Bible said He made as though He would pass by. They called out to Him. Luke chapter 24, those two on the road to Emmaus, the Bible said He made as though He would go further, and they constrained Him to stay.
Right.
Y'all, would you constrain the Lord to stay today? Why would He make out like He was going? He wants you to call unto Him. He wants you to call out when you're struggling and say, Lord, I need Your help. Why? You know why He does it like that? If He didn't let us get to such a place where we were down and we knew there was no other way out, you know what? I split that sea on my own. I got out of that. You'd be like the farmer. He's on the top of his barn. He's working on the barn, you know. And he don't believe in God. And he starts sliding down the side of the barn. He knows it's going to hurt or even kill him. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Guess what happened? Then all of a sudden, a nail catches him on his overalls. He said, don't worry about it, God. The nail caught me. You know what happens? People do that. People do that. If he don't let you get to a place where you know it was Him, you'll forget God and you'll say, oh, I got it. The nail got me. I tell you what, God made the nail. God made the products and the minerals in the ground that was able to form that nail. God gave you the breath to breathe it. God gave you the clothes on your back and the shoes on your feet, the water that you drink, everything. God is allowing that grass out there in that field across from here to blow right now because He is allowing it.
Amen.
Why? It's because of God. He comes to you when you're struggling. Not only that, but He comes to the stubborn. Acts chapter number 9. I thank God that He comes to the stubborn. Why? Because y'all were born stubborn. We'll see that. The Apostle Paul is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he's going to the high priest. He's getting him some letters. He wants to kill some Christians. He's got a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's what happens to a lot of people. They got a zeal, but they don't have the proper knowledge.
Right.
And you know what happens? He thinks he's doing the right thing. And you know what happens? The Lord comes down, knocks him off his horse. I've heard some people say, see there, God forces you. No, He don't. Balaam got knocked off his ass and he still didn't do any good. Why? Some people can have a similar experience and it don't do them any good. Paul, thank God, he said, Lord, what would Thou have me do? And you know what happens here? The Apostle Paul meets the Lord on that road there, and the Lord says something very interesting. And it says this, He said, it's hard for thee, in verse number 5, to kick against the pricks. You know what happens? It's hard for you when the Lord's pricking on your heart. Why? The Bible said it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And look, that thing is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what happens a lot of times? That somebody may be preaching or somebody's witnessing to you or something of that nature, and the Lord is pricking that heart, and that word is starting to deal with your heart, and you're kicking against it.
That's right.
You know what that is? That lost man, that old Adam right there, the Bible says in Job 11:12, it says this, "For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt." You know what?
Right.
A donkey is the most stubborn thing you've ever seen in your life.
Amen.
And you know what? That Bible compares a man who is born in Adam to that. He said, "You're kicking against the pricks. You're kicking like a mule." And you know what happens? Even though you're stubborn, even though you know you should be doing better, the Lord comes to those who are stubborn. The Lord comes to those who oftentimes they know they need to be listening, they know they need to be doing right, they know they need to be serving God. And guess what? God don't leave them alone. God tries to help them. Y'all, we've got a God that's there to help you. Why? Because He wants to see lost people get saved, and He wants to see saved people serve.
Amen.
Y'all, don't you ever think, well, some people say, well, God's not dealing with them. You don't know. You can't see their heart. Some people can put an expression on their face. I've seen some people put a laugh on their face that really weren't laughing, and I've seen some people look like they were just like this right here, and they're some of the best, friendliest folks to be around. You can't judge the heart. Only God can see what's on the inside. He comes to those who are stubborn. Thank God. Well, we all have a tendency to be stubborn sometimes, but God comes to those who are stubborn. I've got to read some verses to you. I'm about to close. I've got to read this to you. Psalm 78. I said, well, I've got a little bit of time. This is a blessing to me. I think it'll help you. Psalm 78, verse 36. Says, "Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue." That's pretty bad right there. Lie. "For their heart was not right with him." The heart wasn't right. "Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity," it says, "and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again."
Right.
The Lord remembers we're just flesh.
Right.
Just flesh. Just made out of dust. Thank God we serve a God like that. Thank God we serve a God who will come to those who are stubborn. Why? He is full of compassion. Compassion. That's why we need to be compassionate. Here's the last thing. Not only does He come to those who are sinners, to the sad, to the struggling, to the stubborn, but He comes to the saints. Here's the last thing I want to tell you. This is what we're looking for. 1 Corinthians 15. I hope maybe while this group is singing right here today, we go be with the Lord. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready, man. I'm ready now. Some people say, well, I don't know about today. Maybe next week or so. Y'all, we ought to be ready any time to go. Y'all, these verses right here, man, it'll make you shout, make you shout. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This was a mystery. Revealed to Paul, it says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpets shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Listen to this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality." Y'all, one of these days, this old body that's dying a little bit day by day, my inner man is being renewed day by day as it's dying day by day. Paul said, "I die daily." And John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." This body's decreasing. But one day the Lord is coming to the saints. And the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first," it said. "Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Y'all, it's comfort there. The God of all comfort. What? It comforts me to know He's coming for me one day.
Amen.
He's not going to leave you comfortless. Y'all, this world is getting worse and worse. Some people say, well, what if the Christians were to leave? You reckon they'd miss us? Nah. Not according to the Bible. I want to read you a few verses. A few verses here. Isaiah 57:1, it says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come."
Amen.
They're not going to care. They're going to be glad you're gone. Why? Because they want to sin. They want to do all these things that the world thinks is fun, but the Christians don't. They want to live in that state. And when the salt is gone, corruption will set in. Sure will. I'll read you another one here. Those in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11:38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world, God said the world wasn't even worthy of those. Isn't that something? Why? He is separating His from the world. One of these days, as this world gets worse and worse and worse, one of these days, my friend, it's going to come a complete separation. He's going to completely get us out of here. Why? He comes to the saints. Last verse here, Proverbs 11:8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. I'm not going through the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
Some people say, well, I don't see how you get that rapture out of the Bible. I said, you can't get it out of the Bible. It's in there to stay. It's in there to stay. I'm telling you this right here. It said, then the wicked cometh in his stead. Y'all, one of these days, there's coming a man who's going to be the man of sin. The sin of man is going to culminate into the man of sin. I'm telling you, the Bible says, well, you came from the beast and all, you're headed to the beast. I'm getting out of here. Why? Because God comes to the saints. Now, you know what? There's going to come a time, maybe we might see some bad things here in America. Can you imagine this right here? Somebody comes up and they say, well, we've taken over here now, and we're going to chop off your head. Well, Christians say, well, be absent with the bodies, be present with the Lord. I'll tell you what, we're not going to kill you. We're going to make your life a living hell. I'm not worried about that. I'm dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. I'm not worried about that. Y'all, you've got to answer for everything they come up with. You imagine one man laying over there in the corner of a cell. And you imagine this right here. Somebody says, I've taken your Bible. Yeah, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Yeah, I've got your Bible. And that may be the only verse you know. And you start laughing. Say, in the beginning, God created the heaven.
That's right.
And the earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness. Shut up! You can't take my Bible because it's on the inside of me. You can't take my Lord because He's on the inside of me. You can't take my comfort because my comfort comes from the inside.
Right.
My joy comes from the inside. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. This morning.
That's right, brother.
Are you wrapped in Jesus? This morning, do you know Him?
Right, brother.
Do you know Him? Do you know the God of all comfort? I hope you do. I hope you do. As they come for the invitation, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Lord, we